We're going to be in Luke chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, it's kind of become our custom on Sunday mornings to read responsively. So I will read, of course, all the verses, and you'll join me on the even verses because you're so nice and even, and I get to read the odd ones by myself because I'm the only one here that's odd. And so we'll just have that. Amen? All right, so we'll read verses 1 through 9. You'll join me out loud on the even verses here in Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Well, I hope you had time to take a look just briefly. And I don't want you to look at it now because now it's preaching time. Okay, but we're able to give out a new calendar to each person and here today. And it has the theme at the top there. It says cultivate. Cultivate. And you say, well, why didn't you just put the word grow there? Well, because they're different words. Right? They're different words. This thing of cultivate has a little more substance to it than just growing. But it does have to do with that, of course. And you'll notice on the church bulletin as well, the little name in the clouds on the church picture has changed as well. Last year it read, Each One, Reach One, which is, of course, is still a goal of ours to do that, to reach people for Christ. But I want to focus our attention this year. The Lord just kind of laid this on my heart, and I want you to look at verse 8, where it says, And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. You know, this thing, you say, why would you think of a verse that has the word dung in it? Well, that's basically fertilized. You understand that, okay? But what it's trying to tell us is about this thing of cultivating. It's cultivating. In the agricultural sense, cultivate means to till, to prepare for crops, to manure, plow, dress, sow and reap. Okay, so it's this whole process of preparing the ground, planting the crops, fertilizing, dressing it, you know, pulling weeds or digging up things around it. To labor, to manage, to improve in husbandry. Okay? So that's one definition of this word cultivate. How many of you have ever tried to plant something, right? We have this famous thing here in Texas, this hard clay soil that we have around here, right? That you've tried to stick a shovel in. It's pretty difficult, isn't it? All right? At times. Or you might have a little bit of a soft layer, then you hit that muck stuff. Especially when it gets wet, it just kind of sucks your shovel in. You know, it's just pretty terrible stuff. Anyways, you know, Have you ever just tried to take, and maybe you want to make a garden, or maybe you want to do a flower bed or something like that. And you just take a bunch of seeds and you just throw them out there, right? And just wherever they land is fine, and if it's on hard ground, fine, and if it's, you know, right? Is that how you do it? You say, yes, it is. Did you grow anything? No. What do you do? You get a tiller. That's a smart thing to do, right? You know, you chew up that ground. Well, why do you chew it all up? Why do you dig it down? And why do you maybe add some good soil to that yucky, sticky stuff? And, you know, why do you get out the Miracle-Gro with the little spray attachment? Okay? Why do you do all that? Cultivate. Why do you cultivate? So the seed can do what the seed's supposed to do. So it can become what it's supposed to become. So it can, if you will, bear fruit. In this parable that Jesus tells here in verses 6 through 9, the dresser of the vineyard asked the master, he said, look, just give me a year. Give me some time to make this work. I'll dig about it. I'm going to loosen up that soil so the roots can spread out like they need to. And I'm going to put some fertilizer on it to help it to, that the roots can take in the nutrients and spread them throughout the tree and help that tree do what it's supposed to do and bear fruit. Give me some time. Can I tell you something? In my opinion, folks, we had a wonderful year last year. We really did. I'm very pleased with our church family and with our church and what the Lord is doing here. I had a wonderful year. And I hope you did too. And I'm not just talking about physically and with my family and all those things, circumstances. I'm talking about spiritually, and I'm talking about the growth of our church family. I'm excited about what God's going to do. But you know what it takes to continue? It's some cultivation. It's a continuous process. You know, after you dig up that ground, what tends to happen over time? It settles back in and hardens up again. What needs to happen? Get your tiller out, or get your pitchfork, or your garden weasel. How many of you got one of those? As seen on TV, right? The garden weasel. You can remove the little heads. Or I like those ones that it's got those handles on it, and it's got that thing that looks like a funny hand at the bottom, and you twist it, right? You get your exercise. One, two, one, two, one, two. You're in your exercise. You like to exercise, right? No? Okay. It's a new year. Right? Everybody has on their schedule, New Year's resolution. I'm going to exercise every day. Just get your garden weasel, your garden claw out there and just. Now, it churns up that soil, right? Digs it up. Allowing that natural process of plants to take place. You know, it's natural for a plant to want to grow. It's natural for a plant to want its roots to spread out. It's natural for a plant to want to sprout up and to produce and bear fruit. It's just kind of natural. That's what it should be for us. But what stops it? That hard ground, right? Lack of nutrients. Weeds. Oh my goodness, weeds. We can't have weeds. We got to pull them out. We got to get those weeds out of there, right? It takes these things, and that's all part of the cultivating process. Hey, folks, any hard ground you're experiencing? Lack of nutrients? Maybe some weeds springing up in your life? Keeping you from being the fruit-bearing Christian that God wants you to be. You know what we need? Some cultivation. Anybody here today, you're already at the place that God wants you to be. I mean, you are on top of everything. Yeah, the ground that you're planted in is continually cultivated. There's not a hard spot in it. It's full of nutrients, and there are no weeds to be seen. You are the perfect fig tree. Bearing fruit. I mean, there are figs coming off of you everywhere! No? Yeah, me either. We all need some cultivation in our lives. And I want to just set our focus aright this year. You know, I'm glad that Jesus is the dresser of the vineyard. The Father is the husbandman. We are planted in His vineyard. And He comes by year after year wanting to see fruit from us. And I think for some of us, He's come by, no fruit. He's come by, little fruit. He's come by, no fruit. And Jesus says, give me some time. Let me dig about it and let me dung it. Let me put some fertilizer on. Let me give it some care. Let me work with this plant a little bit before you decide to cut it down. I like the question that the keeper of the vineyard, that the owner of the vineyard says in verse 7. He says, why cumbereth it the ground? You ever ask yourself that question, you know, why are we here? Well, why are we here? To serve the Lord. To please God. To do His will. To glorify His name. That's why we're here. And you know what? Some of us are just cumbering up the ground. We're just taking in space and never giving out. Can I tell you something? It's not how it's supposed to be. It's not how it's supposed to be. We take in and we exist to produce and to give out to the Lord. The owner of the vineyard wanted something from this tree. And to him, if it didn't produce anything, it wasn't worth the space it was taking up. Just like you and I may not be worth the space we're taking up. Another definition for the word cultivate is to improve by labor or study, to advance the growth of, to refine and improve by correction of faults and enlargement of powers and qualities. That's the spiritual aspect of it. How you doing? Did you get to read through your Bible this last year? Did you memorize any new scriptures? Did you learn any new principles? Did you grow in your spiritual life to the glory of God? Hey, maybe you got to talk to somebody about the Lord. Maybe you got to lead someone to Christ this last year. Maybe this year, make it two. Maybe this year, read your Bible through twice. Maybe this year, memorize 20 scriptures instead of 10. We ought to be always looking to improve and to refine by correction of faults or enlargement of qualities. By the way, can I tell you, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, right? We're supposed to add. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. These are all part of the cultivating process. All part. And God wants us to succeed. He is the husbandman. He is the owner of the vineyard. He wants every plant in His vineyard to be productive and successful. And if not, He says, cut it down. Throw it out. Let's put a plant in there that can. And we'll use what we have here to do what it's supposed to do. God wants us to be successful. He wants to work with us. He wants some time to dig about and to fertilize and to nurture to where we can bear fruit and be what we're supposed to be as a fig tree in His garden, in His vineyard. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16. You understand that in order to go through the cultivating process, you've got to have a plant to work with. That helps, doesn't it? I mean, what lunatic would just go about their yard digging up patches and not put anything in there? Right? You say, I do that, Brother Cole. I'm sorry. But the purpose of digging up the ground and preparing it is to have a a plant. Everybody okay with that? What? It might be grass. That's fine. It might be flowers. It might be vegetables. Yeah, those things. It might be a fruit tree, like a fig tree or a peach tree or an apple tree. It might be, you know, whatever. I'm a big fan of asparagus. How many of you like asparagus? Isn't that great? Yeah. It might be herbs like rosemary or basil or parsley or things like that. But whatever it is, the whole purpose of cultivating is to have a productive plant of some sort. Everybody okay with that? So we've got to have a plant. In verses 3 and 5 of the text that we read, Jesus said about these examples, he said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, at the very beginning, can I say what Jesus said to Nicodemus as he came to him by night? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, folks, just down to the nitty gritty today, you must be born again. You've got to be saved. You've got to be a plant in the vineyard. And can I tell you something? In God's vineyard, there are no unsaved beings. They're not. You must be born again. You must repent and come to Jesus. In Luke 16, if you're there, in verses 23 to 31, we of course know this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And in verse 23, it says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I tell you something, folks. We have an opportunity for salvation. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have Moses and the prophets. We have the words of our Lord and Savior. How he said he had come to seek and to save which was lost. We know he said, repent ye and believe the gospel. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God tells us of our sin. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I just ask you today, are you born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you understood that you're a sinner? That you have a need of salvation? That you're condemned already to hell? For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You understand that we're lost and undone. We're condemned already without Jesus Christ. But aren't you glad? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you saved? Have you been planted in the vineyard of God through accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior? In Acts chapter 3, as they were preaching in the temple courts, and now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers, talking about the crucifixion of Christ. But those things which God had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever I shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Do you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know that you've been born again? And can I say something to you? If not, today's a wonderful day to be planted in the vineyard of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful day. In order to be cultivated and nourished and put in a position to bear fruit, you've got to be planted. You've got to have salvation. You can't be a Christian unless first you know Christ. Just can't be. Jesus tells a parable about the wheat being sown and the evil one coming and also sowing the tares at the same time. And when they sprung up, they looked the same. There are a lot of people that act like Christians, maybe. Maybe say they're Christians. Maybe look like Christians. But they've never been born again. See, how do you know that? Oh, you know. I may not know. But you know. And God knows. Paul preached in a very difficult place in Acts chapter 17. On Mars Hill, he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You understand that after Paul preached and explain to them who this unknown God was, that some did believe and clave unto him. He even called them by name, Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the master of the vineyard wants his vineyard full of plants, full of trees, full of souls that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We know that it's faith and the grace of God that brings us to salvation. Have you believed the gospel? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you, like it says here in our text, in verses 3 and verses 5, repented? Turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in the Savior. Are you born again today? Have you been planted in the vineyard of God? Now go back to our text in Luke chapter 13. As you continue to attend and come to services here, you're going to find great use in these wonderful little Bible markers that your Bibles come with. Just put them in the text, that way you don't have to flip back and forth and find it again, okay? I was given a nice Bible that has three of them. That's pretty cool. As the master of the vineyard comes through and visits this tree year after year, begins to ask himself why the ground is cumbered by this plant that won't produce. The dresser of the vineyard begs for more time to invest in the care and the growth of this plant. Can I tell you something? The growing process is part of being in the vineyard of God. Not only being planted, having the surety of our salvation in Jesus Christ, but also the growing. See, once we've accepted Christ, we can now grow and be the Christian that God wants us to be. Can I tell you something? If you're still a babe in Christ and you've been saved 5, 10, 15 years, you need to grow. You need to develop. You know, if you've been saved a few months, great. You know, keep growing, keep learning, keep developing. But if you've been saved a while, folks, we need to be producing some fruit. We need to be blossoming out. We need to be stretching forth our branches and doing what it is that we're supposed to do. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The master of the vineyard came seeking fruit. The dresser of the vineyard said, "Let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Jesus said in John chapter 15, look at verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." If you go look back, if you think back to what we read about the dresser of the vineyard, was the fig tree going to be doing the work to recover from its condition? No. Who's going to do the work? The dresser of the vineyard. He's going to get the shovel out, or the claw tool, or the garden weasel. And he's going to dig up that soil. Right? And he was going to bring out the fertilizer and put it on and apply it the way it needed to be, preparing that plant to do what it naturally is supposed to do. Jesus said here in John 15 that without me, you can do nothing. How close are you to the Lord? Are you growing closer to him each day? Do you spend time in prayer and reading your Bible and talking to him and relying on him? Or are you just relying on yourself? You know, those first 3 years, maybe that fig tree was just trying to do everything it could in its own power in that cold, hard ground with no nutrients. It sprung up and it had been planted in that vineyard and is doing everything on its own. And it was producing nothing. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We know that we've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to count on his power in our lives. We've got to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's not going to get us anywhere, walking in the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit and be close to him. Jesus said, unless you abide in me, unless you are without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Isn't that wonderful? He wants us to grow. He's going to nurture us. He's going to cultivate in our lives. He's going to do it with us and for us. You know, God's going to dig up that soil. He's going to provide the fertilizer and give us a reason to grow and to produce fruit for him. But without him, you can do nothing. If the master had walked around that vineyard and had been to this fig tree many years, and of his own volition, just said, you know what? This tree is not producing. They didn't have chainsaws back then, but that was a pretty good chainsaw, wasn't it? Right? But no, he went to the dresser of the vineyard. The dresser of the vineyard said, hey, give me a little more time. Can I remind you something? As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. See, I'm past hope, man. I'm hopeless. You're not hopeless until he says you are. He's long-suffering, folks. And the dresser even said, he said, look, give me a year. 2022 has just begun. God, give us a year. Let's dig about it. Let's dung it. Now, don't be bringing any piles of manure in here, okay? If it produced fruit, great. If not, then cut it. He wants to work with us. He wants to dig about us. He wants to fertilize us. He wants to see us grow. He cares. He wants us to grow. He gives us what we need to grow, to bear fruit. You know the parables in the Gospels about the seed and the sower. We had a message last year about the sower went forth to sow. Now I want to talk about the ground. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which it received seed by the wayside. If he have received the seed into the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. But he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by he is offended. He also that has received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. What do you consider good ground? Soft, fertile ground. Where the roots can spread out, suck up the nutrients into the plant so that it can produce the fruit that it needs to produce. We're back in our text. We'll close with this today. As he asks the master if he can dig about it and dung it. You know, sometimes the cultivating process is not pleasant. Maybe bring a little discomfort. But can I tell you something? Discomfort oftentimes leads to growth and leads to production of fruit. You know, pretty soon, I'm not an arborist at all or a horticulturist per se, but I believe that the pruning process, this is the time for pruning trees and things, perhaps. If you were a tree, some guy got a chainsaw or a loppers out and started going to town on your branches, how would you feel? Ow! Ow! Ooh! Ah! Ee! Ah! Ah! Right? It'd be unpleasant. But what's it for? Remember what Jesus said about him? As it bears fruit, he purges the branches so it can bear more fruit. And if you think about it, if you're a plant and you have a root structure down into the ground, and as they dig about that ground, it's going to tear loose some of those roots, perhaps. Oh, 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 oh. Making it a little uncomfortable. But what's the purpose? For expansion and for growth. You know what? In the book of Acts, chapter 2, wow, the church is doing great. 3,000 saved and added to the church. And as you continue reading in chapter 3, we read a passage there, more people got saved. And then in chapter 4 and chapter 5, the church was growing and they were sharing things and great things were happening in the church. Chapter 6 and chapter 7, people were preaching, people were getting saved, and all these things were happening. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said that they were supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem. They were doing that. In Judea, they weren't doing that. And in Samaria, they weren't doing that. And unto the uttermost part of the earth, they weren't doing that. See, but they were all up to over 10,000 members strong there in Jerusalem. Oh yes, they were doing wonderfully. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death there, it says. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. God, why would you do that to your church? It's growing. It's doing wonderfully. It's doing what it's supposed to be. Oh wait, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. He's doing some cultivating, folks. Spurring growth. Digging up that soil. Making it a little uncomfortable. Persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem, and the church died. Is that what your Bible says? Is that, or no, I'm not there. It's in Acts chapter 8. No. And they were scattered abroad, throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Wow! Isn't that a coincidence? Not a coincidence. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So what did he send? Cultivation team. Cultivation team came in to help them to get what they needed and go where they needed to go. To Jerusalem, to Judea and to Samaria. Scattered them. And those that scattered abroad went everywhere moping and complaining and hating God. Is that what it says? No. They went everywhere preaching the word. Hey, cultivation may be uncomfortable, but it's necessary for growth. It's necessary for producing fruit. In James, the Bible tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Why? Why should I rejoice in cultivation that hurts me? Why should I rejoice in pruning that cuts off my branches and makes me uncomfortable? Because the trying of the faith, of your faith, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, you know the life of Job, a perfect and upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil. That was God's testimony of Job. He wasn't tooting his own horn, if you will. In chapter 23, he says, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he will put strength in me. There the righteous may dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew what God would do for him. He was holding him in the palm of his hand, and Job knew it. In 1 Peter, Peter tells the brethren, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Folks, these things are put in our lives to help us to grow. As gold is purified in a furnace, as silver is purified in a furnace, melting away the dross, taking out the things that are not any good for us, being cultivated, being dunged, fertilized. Let me dig it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Hope it's been an encouragement to you today. As we look forward to a new year, a new theme. This word cultivate has so much to it. The Christian life has so much to it. But it all rests on the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. We've got to understand these things, these principles, these truths. And I hope you have a wonderful 2022, because the Lord is with you and you're with him. Back in John 15,
said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, if we abide in him, and he abide in us, we'll be successful. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Let the Lord cultivate you. Dig about you. Fertilize you. Provide for you what you need in your life to bear much fruit.